This is
Genatzet Hayer,
a toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on the Ignotainment Media Network.
Genatzet, Genatzet, Parluysen Gernet, Inchpesek. Hey, it's July 10th. We got a great show. Great show. I can't even get into the news today because I got two guests, and plus we have our Armenian cook, Mariam, on the show. So let's get right to it. Chris, this guest of mine on this show, he's actually part of the leaders that are putting all the protests in Armenia right now. And I think it's you know, we could talk about the peaches and with the apricots of Armenia and everything, but these guys, they're standing up for what is right, and we are very happy to have on our show Armen Hovhannisyan. Armen, how are you?
Thank you. Well, I'm sorry, just one detail. I am not one of the leaders.
Well,
not just formally. You know, in fact, I'm just an active citizen, and it's very honorable for me to be just active citizen, and that's all. Of course, I was there every day, and I'll try to be in the first row, but I can't call me a leader. It will be not
Okay, I understand. Yeah, thank you very much, though, for being on our show. You're giving us a little idea of what's going on in Armenia right now, and you are in Armenia right now, right?
Yeah, sure. I'm in Yerevan, of course.
Beautiful.
Now, at this moment, you mean, what is the situation at the moment here?
Yeah, that was my question, my first question. How did all these protests start, Armen?
Start? It was, there was a, as we call it, we call it in Armenia,
the electricity?
No to depredation or no to robbery. I don't know how to translate it in the correct form. And they fought against increasing of electricity price. Not just this one, but 1 year ago, they tried to do something against increasing of the price at a year ago too,
right.
But it wasn't so massive support for them. Yeah, it generally they are young men of 20 to 28 generally, and they are how we call it the independent generation. Yeah, the people, the citizens who. Whose bringing up was in the period of independence, and this time you know that electric net company just asked for the government to let them to increase the price initially for 17 rand, as I remember, yes, and this body, so-called regulating body, let them to increase for about 7 rand, 6 and 9 something, 90 with something.
Now, Armen, it's already expensive, though, isn't it, the electricity?
It's the most expensive electricity in the region, and we are the electricity generating country. And we are exporting the electricity to other countries. And the electricity in the countries we export to is much cheaper than in Armenia. It's very interesting, yeah?
How do they plan on presenting something like this to the people? Don't they know that the people would stand up and say, enough is enough?
The secret, I guess, of all this mass movement is in this form of presentation. It's a very good question, because do you know that the $100 revenue for a person in our families, it's okay in Yerevan. You are something like a middle class, only $100 per person in the family. And this guy, Bibin, salary is about $60,000 per month.
Wow.
And and they have they are buying, of course, on cooperative accounts. They are buying houses that they cost more than $1 million. They are buying cars. They cost, for example, $30,000 or $40,000. But they buy it personally and then give to a rent to the company by the price that is very close to the monthly payment, is very close to the price of the car. You understand the situation. And after then, these guys came to our society, our government, and tell that we have problem with financing. We need to increase the price.
But
just to overcome this bad economical situation,
But they don't
increase our salary.
Yeah, they don't have a problem though buying the $40,000-$50,000 car though.
No. They are have some kind of philanthropy. They are repairing and just constructing new charges.
Right.
Can the company with negative balance just build a charge?
And Armin, if you feel comfortable talking in Armenian, if you understand my English, talk back in Armenian the answer, because there's a lot of Armenians out there, vice versa, that you know will have a hard time understanding English too.
Of course, it's much easier for me to speak Armenian.
Yeah.
Հատիրները, որ դու պատկերացնում ես, որ այդ ընկերությունը, որը այդպեսի ծախսեր է անում, առանց ծախսելու, լկտի կերպով, դիմում է մեր իշխանություններին, համապատասխան այդ մարմնին, որը կարգավորում է դները իբրև այդպեսի մոնոպոլիստիկ ընկերությունների, և ասում է, որ մենք խնդիր ունենք, մենք պիտի բացատրենք ինքը, թե չէ, մենք չենք կարող էլեկտրականություն մատակարարել քաղաքացիներին։ Ուրի շանտաժի են դիմում, ասում են, թե չէ, մենք անջատումներ կանենք օրվա ընթացքում։ Դե գիտեք, մեզ մարդիկ վախեցած են դրանից, որովհետև մենք 90-ական թվականներին խնդիրը տանել մեր վրա տարել ենք, եւ մտածում են մարդկանց վախեցնել։
Right.
Ես իշխանությունը քարաչ է գնում. They agree that this regulating body agrees. They say okay. Their demand is justified and let's go on and we'll increasing
That's not right. And how do the people, how do the protesters feel? Is the morale high in Armenia that the things will change, or are we just looking around at each other saying things will never change, this is how it is?
You see, if they really thought that things will never change, you couldn't see 20,000 of citizens in the street demanding to stop this price increasing. Yes, it means that they believe in something. They believe that society has just opportunity and has ability to stop such things, such this kind of price change or many other things that are unjust and not acceptable for society. Yeah?
So the people in Armenia think that there can be a change in this?
Of course. What is the reason to go to the street, to be beaten by police, to be detained after such without such belief and without such trust that it is possible to change something.
You mentioned beatings. Are the police getting brutal with the protesters now?
There were two times when they just used mass violations. Yes, and it was the night or early morning of 23rd of June. You know, they use this water cannon.
Right. And yeah, we've seen that.
And they arrested more than 200 people. It's a record.
It was
a record of Republic of Armenia, just to arrest more than 200 people in one in an hour, or in 30 minutes.
Well, that was my next question. What are they doing when they get arrested? Are they held for a while and then let go, or are they just keeping all these people?
Yeah, but You see, they took to different police departments and even to some departments out of Yerevan, because the detained people were just too many
right.
to put them in one place. Yes,
I understand.
And for example, I was in North Police Department of Yerevan. Maybe there were about 70 activists and girls
too, in the same
and,
in the same place,
men and old men and different type of men in the North Police Department.
You know, it's got to be difficult on the police too, because it's got to be difficult on the police as well, because they're going through the same situation as well with the electricity and all that. So, you know, it's they're not making a lot of money on just the average police guy. So, you know, it's I can see both sides on this as well, as the police are part of the average people as well, and they're going through a situation where they're like, I can't believe we're arresting these people. So that's got to be happening as well.
You're right. Generally, you're right. But alas, in the police, there are different people, yeah? And there are people who... seem themselves not as a policeman, not as a man of law. Yeah, they see themselves like a bodyguard of the regime, bodyguard of the government.
Okay,
and they are ready to fulfill any order if it is anti-constitutional or not. They are not interested. They are soldiers of the regime. And, for example, we were detained for 12 hours. 12 hours. And do you know that the Armenian constitution let to detain people without any suit up to 3 hours only?
Wow.
And, but only three. In North, I was detained for 12 hours. I'm just joking that it's my personal record. Because when I took, I participated in demonstration during the Putin's regime, and more than 100 people were detained. They took me for 7.5 hours, and I was very angry because it was violation of my constitutional rights.
They detained you for 7 hours. They held you.
Yeah, it was during the Putin's visit. But now 12. Therefore, I say that it's personal record for me. More than 12 hours to be detained without any suits and any official procedures. Yeah.
It seems to me too, the people. They're so lively on the street. They're dancing. It's not like any other protest that you see around the world. These people seem like, hey, we don't wanna fight with you. We want you to understand what we're going through. And those police have got to understand what they're going through. I mean, the government has got to understand. The president of Armenia has got to understand that. The people cannot keep paying this much money. Where's this money coming from?
You see, the matter not is only the price of electricity, because it will influence on the whole economy and social situation, economic situation in Armenia will become worse, much worse, because many goods and price of these goods are in connection with electricity price.
Right, yes, everything's connected, you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. It was some preliminary economic account that each Armenian family will pay 100,000 dirhams more per year.
Well,
impossible. That's very large amount for Armenian families, my family.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. It's what are they saying? The government's saying it's a 40% on the on the electricity tax or 40% increase?
Yeah, they say that the system is not just profitable, and it couldn't work in this situation for a long time. Therefore, we must increase the price just to make the system more vital and just to survive, to the company survive. But I guess any government at first must think about survival of their citizens.
Yeah.
We all are in crisis. We all have great problems. At first, they must think about their citizens, not about monopoly and just a foreign owned monopoly at the first row. Yeah.
The government should say, hey, you're still making a little profit. That's all you can make right now, because the people, what you're trying to do now is really strangle the population of Armenia. And that's where the government's got to stand in and say, you know what, you make a little profit, you do not make a large profit, the margins do not equal up what the people are going through right now, my friend. So that's, I'm very glad to get you on the show here and hear your perspective on it. And I just want to say, the people in the West, what do you say to the people out there in the West that are also saying, you know, that could be saying, now, you guys protesting, doesn't this kind of lead to an Azeris watching from a distance and saying, we hope that there's some sort of, God forbid, some sort of action between the Armenian people and the government, and then we leave the back door open? What do you say about that?
Maybe they are right, but I just want to tell my Armenian.
And you could tell them in Armenian now, too.
Yeah. That the main problem not is not the the price of the electricity, because after then they can make worse decisions in different areas. The main problem is how such problems are solved, the technology of solution of such problems. And Armenian society here wants to have modern, transparent, and just mechanism to solve such kind of problems. Not just on behalf of majority, but everybody must be involved in this solution. If it is a problem, Mr. Bibin or other guys or millionaires or oligarchy or government must be involved in the solution of the problem. And they are trying to do everything on behalf of working families. Right. That's the problem. Right. And if our Armenian guys outside will understand the situation, I guess their support will be larger, and more effective.
We definitely, I got to say, Armen, we definitely support you. But our number one thing, too, is we don't want something to happen inside the country to where, like I said, God forbid, a civil war or something like that, to where then you got Azerbaijan, you got Turkey on one side, you got Azerbaijan on the other, and they're both looking, especially Azerbaijan, that would be their key to the door. To there's unrest in Armenia, so now let's move in on Armenia. I mean, stuff like that goes through our mind as well.
Okay, I understand, sure. We are, of course, for us, it's a main priority too. But I can tell you as eyewitness, yes, that the atmosphere at these marches or this demonstration or sitting this sitting strike, yes, was so that the people are not patriotic, more nationally minded, much more than the government, and will never let to violate the interests of our beloved motherland.
Bravo.
We are Armenians. We are proud Armenians, and we want to make Armenia the best country for living in the world.
Bravo, Armen.
That's all.
That's great. That's great. And I appreciate it. And I'm sure my people out there listening appreciate everything that you said. And we'd love to have you back on the show again. And God bless. And God bless our country, Armenia. And you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Armen.
Sorry for my bad English.
No. That's fine. I should be talking Armenian, so my fault too. I'm sorry. That was a great interview, Chris. I tell you what, there's so much love out there with the Armenian people, and God bless them. I don't blame them for standing up on this, and we could talk about peaches and all that, but we got to face the issues of what's going on in Armenia, and it's people like Armen out there, masses of people in Armenia that are standing up for their right for electricity being way too overpriced, and God bless all of them. Our next guest. Well, this hits home to my Glendale listeners, my friends. We've got our own Glendale City Clerk, Ardeshes R.D. Kazakian. How you doing out there, R.D.?
I'm doing all right, John. How are you guys?
Everything's great. We're in St. Louis. We've been battling rain every day, and you guys never get rain out there.
Yeah, I will tell you about the weather out here and how perfect it is. Well, this probably upset some of our listeners on the East Coast and elsewhere. We don't have humidity. We just have sun. And it's been pretty nice lately.
Well, it's been raining every day here. Well, it's good to have you on our show. Artie, you're running for office in Glendale. Tell us a little bit about that and how that's coming along for you.
Thank you, John. Actually, right now I'm the elected city clerk of Glendale. And Glendale, like some other cities throughout the United States, the city clerk who runs the elections and runs council meetings is an elected post. And I'm currently halfway through my third term. I was elected in 2005. And so I've been city clerk now for 10 years. But the position I'm running for now is running for the state legislature. I'm running for the California State Assembly to represent the area that Glendale is in, but then also a few other communities, Burbank, La Crescenta, La Cañada, Los Feliz, Atwater, parts of Silver Lake, Hollywood Hills, East Hollywood, including the neighborhood of Little Armenia. And it's not very difficult to say and acknowledge that this is probably the highest concentration of Armenian Americans in the state of California within the boundaries of this assembly district.
Yeah, I tell you what, it is so, the thing that really separates L.A. and Glendale from St. Louis, we're diverse here too. We've got a large community of Bosnians, but you know, the thing about us is we don't get along like you folks out in Glendale. It is beautiful how you guys get along out there. It's fabulous, because I go out there all the time, and I can't tell you how people are diverse and they get along so great.
You know, it's one of the great things about Los Angeles. You know, you do have a very present influence from the Latino culture, a lot of Spanish-speaking residents. But in addition to that, you get a lot of folks from China. You get a lot of folks from Korea and other Asian countries and all over the Middle East. And I'll tell you, one of the best things about living in Glendale and just L.A., the L.A. area, in general is, you know, whatever it is that you're craving, you know, you can have falafels in the afternoon and have some of the best sushi at night and wake up the next morning and have sujuk and eggs and you can run the whole gamut.
Wow. Now, you may have to replace our cook after that. That was beautiful. No, we're not going to replace you. I'm sorry.
Well, it depends on what your cook's making.
She's really good. She's really good. Hey, when did you get involved in politics?
You know, I got involved probably in college. I was a young student at UCLA. I always had interest in politics, right? Because I think as Armenians, we love to talk about politics around the dinner table. You know, we talk about, and we're cosmopolitan people. We're dispersed all over the world. And when we watch the news, whatever is happening in whatever corner of the world is affecting someone we know. I mean, just look at the last year, you know, from Iraq to Syria to what's happening in Greece today. You know, I have family in Greece. I have friends who have family in Syria. And we follow the news, and we're concerned about the politics of the world. But it's ironic, because when it comes to being involved in politics ourselves, Armenians tend to shy away from it for various reasons. I think part of it is because we've all emigrated from countries where being involved in politics wasn't necessarily a good thing. It didn't bear the best results. If you open your mouth or express an opinion, you could be thrown in jail or worse. But, you know, for me, I was born in Boston, Massachusetts. I moved to California when I was in the fourth grade. Kind of grew up, you know, in America most of my life. And I just, you know, have always felt like this is a country where, you know, we are the masters of our own destiny. You know, we have a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And, you know, as an Armenian American, I have a very acute understanding of our place in history and in time, and some of the injustices that have been inflicted upon the Armenian people. And I feel like, you know, being involved in causes like calling our government to reaffirm the historical facts of the genocide, or pointing out to our elected officials that Turkey is not the most reliable ally in the Middle East, these things have made me even more politically aware of the greater political world. And then eventually that trickles down to the local level too. Once you're interested in stuff like that, you can't help but be interested in about, you know, making sure you have nice sidewalks that are maintained, that you live in a safe neighborhood, that the police are responsive, or that you have good schools. So, you know, I come from, I think, a more Americanized Armenian generation that we're seeing more of now, who are more engaged and aware of the role in politics, their role in politics and the role of politics in their lives.
Right.
But it wasn't until UCLA, you know, I think college is when a lot of people become active. And for me, it was being involved with Armenian Student Association. 1997, the Turkish government approached the University of California in Los Angeles and said, here's $1.5 million. We want you guys to establish a chair of Turkish studies and appoint a professor that we approve of who will, you know, go on and deny the Armenian genocide. And when I was involved in the Armenian Student Association on campus, we stood over our dead bodies. No way. You can't have something like that. This is a taxpayer-funded public institution in the heart of, you know, one of the densest Armenian communities in outside of the former Soviet Union, and you can't just come to LA and put up a chair of denial. So we got really politically involved and engaged, even though we didn't know it was political, but we were lobbying our professors and the chancellor and newspapers and radio stations, and telling them, hey, look, you can't have the university, you can't have UCLA enter into this partnership with the Republic of Turkey, you know, a country that has more journalists and academics in jail than communist China. So that was probably my first taste of politics. And I'll tell you, the University of California, Los Angeles History Department turned down the money from the Republic of Turkey by a vote of 18 to 17, a one-vote difference, the professors, the history teachers. And that was kind of my intro to it, that, you know, one vote makes a difference. And I always wonder what would have happened if we had just sat on the sidelines and hadn't done any, you know, what the results would have been then.
I tell you what, bravo, Artie, because a lot of what you said, what you were saying there, a lot of Armenians, they sit around in the morning with their morning surge, and yes, they're the best politicians in the world, but, you know, they never go out after that and do anything about it. So all kudos to you, man, for, you know, pursuing it. And 1817, that makes a difference, that one vote, guys. And Artie's running here for state legislature, is it?
Yeah, state assembly in the state of California for the 43rd Assembly District. And if anyone is interested in finding out more about it, they can go to our website, Artie for Assembly. That's A-R-D-Y, Artie for Assembly, F-O-R. Assembly is just spelled traditional spelling, like however you would spell assembly.com, ArtieForAssembly.com.
Now, is there anything going on in Glendale right now, too, new projects or anything? Because when I was out
Glendale,
it was beautiful.
Glendale's got a lot of projects. There's always construction going on. There's always new stuff happening in Glendale, new stores, new restaurants opening up. I mean, we used to be the third largest city in Los Angeles County. We're now the fourth largest, but not by a lot. You know, we're neck and neck with one of our neighboring cities, Santa Clarita, not too far from us. But Glendale keeps growing. I'll tell you, if any of your listeners haven't been to Glendale, if they're Armenian and they live in Racine, Wisconsin, a place I'd like to actually visit one day, old Armenian community there, or if they're from Seattle or, you know, Santa Fe or Miami,
come
to Glendale, check it out.
Chicago,
it's a unique
Armenians
experience.
Too. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's Guys, I'm telling you right now, I go to Glendale every year one time, and every time I'm there, I'm relaxed. And this goes out to Artie and all the politicians out there. They make it to where you feel comfortable there. It's clean there. And
you know, we try.
Yeah,
from the
politicians.
And listen, we do have, not to put your the cook out of, or your recipe person out of business, but we have the best Armenian food anywhere, with all due respect to my friends in Fresno
No question.
On the East Coast. When the great Jerry Tarkanian was in Glendale to give a talk, and they asked him, where have you had the best Armenian food? He said, by far, I haven't had better food than I've had here in Glendale.
Now, you just mentioned basketball, and I went to your site. I went to your site. Now, I'm telling you, Artie, 20 years ago, you wouldn't be able to pull this off. And this is on your like side there. You had a Boston Celtic emblem living in Los Angeles. Yeah, I mean, that's all Laker town.
Can I tell you?
Used to be Laker
town. And keep in mind, so I moved. My family, I was born in Boston. I moved to L.A. in 1984 at the height of the Lakers-Celtics rivalry.
Of course.
When I was a kid, I didn't know better. But, man, I tell you, the day I set foot here on the playground, I felt like a Christian soldier in an unholy land. I'll tell you, I did not. It was, people gave me these looks and like, you know, how could you be a Celtics fan? But I love that team. I love the Parrish, McHale, Larry Bird era. That was my team.
Artie.
You know, I've grown to like a lot of LA teams, Jono. I've grown to love the Dodgers as much as I love the Red Sox. The Lakers, they're a little harder sell for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're a Boston fan. I remember growing up as a Sixer fan during the Moses Malone days, and we were closing the game against the Boston Celtics, and the Boston Celtic fans started the chant BLA, and that was your team. That was the other team that was going to beat you, but that still a hatred towards LA. Anyway, I seen the Boston Celtic.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this: I always try to find an Armenian American angle in everything, and my justification for being a Celtics fan is that the Celtics owner was an Armenian American at one point. The Celtics were owned by an Armenian American. So,
wow, there you go. Well, I tell you what, my friends. That was Artie Kazakian. Artie, can you give us a shout-out again on where they could find you, what day this election's going to be, and so forth, that they can be involved in your campaign?
Sure. Again, the website is the best way to find out all information. It's artieforassembly.com. That's ArdyFor Assembly.com. And, you know, one important thing that we're doing is this coming July 19th, there's going to be, if any of your listeners are registered Democrats living in any of the communities I mentioned, Glendale, Burbank, La Cañada, La Crescenta, Los Feliz, Atwater, Silver Lake, Little Armenia, Hollywood, come out to vote in your local Democratic endorsement meeting. We're going to be electing the delegates who will determine the party endorsement. Our actual election won't be until next June in 2016, but this next Sunday, July 19th, or actually coming Sunday, July 19th, it's going to be a pretty, pretty important election for local delegates. We have 7 Armenians running, Armenian Americans. We have actually a very diverse slate. We're encouraging everyone to come out and support these folks who put their names out there to be involved in the Democratic Party and get more people involved in the democratic process, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
And one more thing on that note, Artie, is there any way that people that aren't registered, they can go somewhere and get registered so they can vote for this as well?
Yeah, absolutely. If they go to lavote.net, they can check to see if they're registered to vote, lavote.net. And then if they aren't, they can register online through the Secretary of State's website, which is actually online as well. So,
okay.
You know, that it's very easy to do now. Anyone can do it in just a moment. It does not take a long time to register to vote. There's really little to no excuses to being a registered voter. And I'll tell you, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference
does.
In your community's future. We had 160,000 Armenian Americans march for the commemoration of the Armenian genocide out here in L.A., John. But I'll tell you, you know, that 160,000 isn't worth much unless we can turn that kind of power into power at the polling booths. You know, have people who march for justice also vote for justice.
Correct. Very good.
And by the way, I finally remembered the owner of the Celtics was Harry Mangarian. Harry Mangarian owned the Celtics.
Because I was
during the Larry Bird area.
Are you kidding? I thought it was the little guy with the big cigar. What was his name?
Red Auerbach. Yeah. Red Auerbach. But you know what? Thanks to the magic of Google, we can find out with public support strongly behind Auerbach, Brown sold the team to Harry Mangarian rather than run the risk of having Auerbach leave the team. Wow. So Harry Mangarian actually owned the team while Auerbach was still with them.
Wow, wow. So when is this election? What's the date on this?
Yeah, back to the real issue, right?
No, I want to let it out here. I want people to know about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, sports will always get me distracted from the topic at hand. I'm glad you're keeping me on point. The election for the Democratic delegates is July 19th.
July 19th.
Sunday, July 19th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. If people have questions, they can reach out to us through our website. We'll give them the information that they need about how they can show up and vote for the Democrats' United Slate. And the actual election, the primary election in which they can vote for me, will be June 2016, the same time that Hillary and all the Republican candidates are on the ballot to determine who's going to be a nominee for each party. People will be able to go to the polls in the 43rd Assembly District and cast their ballot for Artie Kasatkin for State Assembly.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And Ardeshes Kazakian, I tell you what, it was great having you on our show, my friend.
My pleasure. And we love your podcast. Keep it up and keep having some interesting guests. We learn a lot from listening to it.
Thank you very much. And we'll be in touch with you. You're a friend of the show. Anytime you need anything, let us know, and we'll have you on our show. Thank you very much. Folks, that was Artie Kazakian. Thank you very much. Well, you know what time it is now, Chris.
Oh, it's my favorite part of the show.
Well, it's time where our mouths water with Mariam's cooking. Well, what do you got for us, Mariam?
Hi. Today I have, it's like a breakfast pudding, dessert kind of breakfast. Mm-hmm. So today's morning I decided to do a breakfast. This particular bread pudding is my mother-in-law's favorite, and her mother made for her. And it's so easy to make. All you need is just like a stale bread. You need to cut it up, and then you fry it in the butter, stovetop. It's not done inside the oven. And then you need a grape jam, or she makes her own, which is very easy to make. It's like it's seedless grapes, and then you put it in a saucepan. You add 2 or 3 cups of sugar and then vanilla extract, and then you squeeze 1 lemon, and then you just bring it to a boil, let it sit, and that's it.
Well, that sounds really delicious. It sounds very simple, too. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah, it is very simple. And then once the bread is done, it's toasted in the butter, you just mix them up. I like to actually put it in a ceramic cups and put it in the oven for a couple of minutes, take it out so it will shape, and then I just top it up with whipped cream.
So it's served warm then?
Yeah, it's served warm.
Okay. All right. Well, that's and what do you call this one?
It doesn't have a name. My mother-in-law calls it jamur.
Well, why don't we call it the mother-in-law?
She calls it a jamur, which jamur basically means that you you kind of squeeze everything together. But I call it a bread pudding.
Bread pudding. There we go. Bread pudding.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, that does sound good. All right, Mariam, we will be in touch with you next week. Our people, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can visit my site, Cooking with My Armenian Family. And this particular recipe is in my book, too, and it's on Amazon. They can get that from Amazon.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
and if you great. Want any more information, the link to her site will be in the show description as well as on our Facebook page, so you can find Mariam that way, too.
Hey, does Mariam have one of our shirts?
No, I don't think she does.
We got to get Mariam one of our shirts.
Yeah.
Mariam, stay after this phone call because I got to get your address, and we got to send you one of our podcast shirts.
Oh, great. And actually, I need your address so I can send you guys a book.
Great. Oh, beautiful. There we beautiful. Go. Yeah.
Even exchange then. Shirt for a book. I think we're getting the better deal, Chris.
I think so, too.
All right.
Thank you, guys, and hopefully you'll make this.
Okay. All right. And that was Marianne, my friends.
Well, that's our show for this weekend. My friends, stay tuned. Great shows we're having. Need your support and all your love. Thanks a lot. And Kisher Party, and be safe out there.
Tune in next week for another episode of
Genatzet Hayer,
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. You can find the show online at www.armeniaproud.com or download and subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher for Android. This is the Ignotainment Media Network.